Okay. Ready.
So on three. So one, two,
wait,
three, clap.
Wait. One, two, three, clap.
One, two, three, clap.
All right.
So on four, I guess.
All right, cool.
So don't say four. Let the four be the clap.
All right, cool.
Okay, you ready?
I'm ready.
Okay. One, two, three. Oh, that was pathetic. Let's see that again.
Welcome to episode 16 of One More Podcastle, where we play with old video games and each other's emotions. My name is Eric Bailey, I am very tall, and I'm the editor-in-chief of onemorecastle.com.
I am Eric Hunter, I am the audio engineer, and I wish I was a stormtrooper.
My name's Jason Lamb, I'm the resident Canadian, and I am not wearing any pants.
I feel like you've used that one before, or am I just imagining that you did?
I think you just really wanted him to say it.
Yeah. I think you've just been picturing me without pants.
Well, at least I don't want to be a stormtrooper.
Oh, come on. Everybody wants to be a stormtrooper.
Cool. Get to sure, wear their armor's useless, but...
And you can't yeah. You can't fire with a dam.
And you occasionally bump your head on the ceiling.
That's and everybody's true. The same.
Clones.
And you can't get a date on
That's
Friday
why.
Night.
It's the clone aspect.
Oh, yeah.
That's not true at all. That's not true at all.
I think it is.
No, because after the Clone Wars and where all the clones were made, they stopped making clones and other people signed up for the Empire.
Yes. Thank you, actual Star Wars dork. Thank you. Thank you for clarifying that point.
Don't worry. You guys were super lucky I wasn't on last week's because I would have went Star Wars crazy all over your asses.
I used to be capable of it, but my fanboyism for Star Wars is long dormant.
Yeah.
Well, I'm sorry to hear that.
That's okay. I mean, with episode 7, who knows what'll happen, right?
Yeah. Might come
pouring back.
As long as it's not animated, I'll be 100% happy with it.
Really?
George.
That's your only qualification? As long as it's not animated?
As long as it's not animated, I'll accept anything at this point. Because it's got to be better than the new trilogy.
That's true. I mean, episode 1 had poop jokes. Can you really stoop any lower than poop jokes?
That's true.
Jokes about Canada?
Hi-oh.
Oh, ouch. Wow. He went there.
No, I mean, like, Canada jokes are really bad. They're really offensive, right, Jason? I got your back.
You d***hole. I'm not allowed to say that, am I? That was d***ed out.
No, actually, that one you might. Are we adhering to, like, strict radio standards where there's only, like, 7 words we can't use? Or are we doing it pretty close
know.
To the cuff?
I'll figure it out when I'm editing it.
Right, so, I mean, cool. The word badass is in our discussion question tonight, so, you know.
That's true.
I'll figure it out when I edit it.
Sounds good. It's up to Hunter. He holds absolute dictatorship control over this whole operation. The opposite of a stormtrooper, may I point out.
That's right, because they don't have free will. That's true.
For those of you who don't know, last week we had a special guest, Septicore, in place of Hunter. So this week it's nice to have the crew all back, and obviously we're already super comfortable with it because we just spent a few minutes talking about Star Wars before I could mention that fact. But what I'm really wondering, guys, is have you played any old video games lately?
Yes.
I have as well.
What?
Woohoo!
Well, see, this is a 2004 release. I guess it's not really... I've been playing Jungle Beat.
I've heard of that.
GameCube. It's a Donkey Kong game that you actually... It's an adventure platforming game that you play with the bongo drums.
Oh, yeah.
For the GameCube, right?
Yeah.
Avoided those games like the plague I did.
It's not bad.
Really?
Yeah, like the idea of the bongo drum as the controller and how you control Donkey Kong with it, like it's kind of intuitive. It's annoying after a while, and I kind of wish I liked it more, but like it's neat because it's like, okay, so you got the two drums, and obviously you hit the left one to move left, you hit the right one to move right, you hit both of them to jump, and if you want to attack, you clap. So what's neat about it is like you'll be running as fast as you can, then you're like, oh, I got to jump and attack, and I got to grab bananas, and then, I don't know, like it...
Sounds like the clapper of video games.
Well, halfway through it, I just wanted to play with a regular controller, because the game's actually a lot of fun. and I'm not crazy about the drums. It's a neat idea, but yeah. Hmm.
Yeah.
That's all.
Well, good for you. How about you, Jason?
What did I play? I played some more Pod Racer.
Oh, really?
I did. And then I played Clay Fighter 63 and a third for the first time.
Did you play the Sculptor's Cut?
No.
Oh, come on.
I have both. I didn't know what the difference was at first.
Oh, the Sculptor's Cut has additional... It's enhanced... Jason.
More characters.
It's super better.
Yeah, because guess what? Clay Fighter 63 and a third? What a piece of crap.
What?
Piece of crap.
Oh, come on, man. The combo system alone is hilarious.
Oh, that's just awful.
Itty-bitty combo? Come on.
That's funny the first time, and then it's like, I get it. It's an itty-bitty combo. It's come up on the screen 12 times now.
Well, you should do better combos, then.
It's, I don't know. It wasn't...
Earthworm Jim.
Yeah, Earthworm Jim was cool. He's the first guy.
Boogerman's on there.
Boogerman.
I will admit the Clay Fighter series is kind of a sentimental thing for me. I have childhood memories of being fondly attached to the franchise, so I'll try not to say too much, but that hurts, man, to hear Clay Fighter bad mouth like that. That's rough.
Boogerman is actually a locked character, so I didn't get to play as him.
Yeah, and the code to unlock him is pretty crazy, from what I remember.
Booger Man!
If you ever need Nintendo 64 recommendations, you can just let me know.
I'll definitely let you know.
Okay. Or anybody who's owned a console in their lives, just ask them.
I had an N64 at one point.
That's past tense, though.
Yeah, it's like Bailey.
Bailey, do you still have your Nintendo 64?
I still own one, but it's 180 miles away.
It still works.
Okay. Okay. Great. Good.
It's a lot of. That's a long way away.
It is. It's. I'm working on fusing all the controller cords together, and then building a specialized telescope so that I can hold the controller at my house and then watch the television screen from all the way over here. But having the account for the curvature of the Earth is really complicated. And as I've said on this podcast before, math is hard.
Math is really hard.
Math is mega hard.
Reading's hard, too.
Using words difficult can be...
Brain hurt.
Brains. Oh, speaking of brains, I've been playing a fun old game.
Which one?
Granted, well, it's the same one I was playing last week. House of the Dead 2 and 3 on Wii. It's a port of the classic arcade rail shooters. Hunter's here this time, so I can say that, and it's funny. But we actually beat House of the Dead 2 the other night, so now we're just working our way through House of the Dead 3.
The third one's with the shotgun, right?
Yes. Yeah, yes, that, it is.
Yeah, yeah.
I get the sense that you don't like it, Hunter.
What? Why would you say that?
It's just a hunch I have. I'm really intuitive. But I love how the game, it starts you out. You can have 3 credits. So you have, up to 5 lives, and then you die, and you get 2 more continues. But then literally every time you play through until you die but don't beat the game, you unlock an additional credit. So now we're up to 9 credits, and we've reached the final boss. We just haven't beat him yet because he's tough. But that is one thing I actually like about the games, if people aren't familiar with them, is even though it's a rail shooter and you kind of memorize certain portions and you get accustomed to it, the bosses are genuinely challenging, even the 20th time you try them. So just thought I'd point that out. And I've actually been playing one other old video game. I took it out the other night, but I'm not going to mention it because it's my Retro Showdown pick.
Oh,
is it Clue Land?
It is not. I've already used Clue Clue Land before, Hunter.
Is it a sequel to Clue Clue Land?
Aye, that would be interesting.
Would it be like Blue Blue Land or...
Doo-Doo Land.
Doo-Doo Land. That's a good one.
Yeah, capture the true sentiment of that stupid game.
So I actually kind of had an epiphany yesterday. Uh-oh. I think I finally figured out what my favorite genre of video games are.
Oh, cool.
What is it?
Run and gun games.
Nice.
Like purely like run and gun, two-dimensional side-scrolling platformer run and guns, like Contra.
Yeah, like Contra and Mega Man and Smash TV, Metal Slug.
Okay. Nice.
Something about it. It's one of those genres of games that's like, no matter, I mean, it's the same tired genre over and over again. Like, you know, you get unlimited ammo for the most part, and there's mass enemies coming at you, and it's nothing but havoc the entire time. But I don't know, there's something about it where it's just like, I can't put them down.
There is something to be said about the enjoyment of just blasting the crap out of everything in your path.
See, I think that's what it is, because like when I play like modern, and I use that term loosely, first-person shooters like Halo or Call of Duty, like I'm not the guy to hide behind a box or a crate and shoot at the enemy. Like, I just run straight for everybody, like throwing grenades and just trying to shoot as many people as I can before I die. Like, that's my thing.
Huh. Are you keeping up with the development of Dude Bro 2?
I've never heard of it.
Really? Okay. You need to go to Google and type in Dude Bro and then put a space and then put II and then hit enter. And I won't say much more. I'll let you do your own research and figure it out. But it's a modern take on retro-style side-scrolling run-and-gun shooters.
Nice.
Interesting.
It has a subtitle with two swear words in it that we can't even say on the podcast. Like, it looks like it's going to be pretty intense.
Yeah, it's funny.
I'm going to make another recommendation for you.
Sweet!
On top of that, I haven't played it yet, but I've read nothing but good things. It's called Intrusion 2. It's a similar kind of action platformer run and gun. Has full controller support.
That's a plus. That's a huge plus for me.
And it has fully rendered physics. So when you're battling bosses, if you hit certain parts of them, they'll kind of react with a physics engine, which is pretty cool.
Huh.
That's only $10 on Steam.
It's $5 right now on the sale.
What? All right, so I'm having issues with Steam.
What are your issues?
Oh,
and I don't know if it's just because of my computer or so. I logged in the Steam. I've never had a Steam account before, so I logged in the Steam, created an account, and I was like, okay, I'm just gonna go looking around and see what I can get. And I came across Team Fortress 2.
Yeah,
never played it before. So I thought, okay, I'll download it. It's probably going to be a huge download, and it is. But it was like, oh, we'll just download it in the background. You do whatever you want to do. And I was like, well, that's pretty neat. So it's still downloading. But every time I tried to double-click on my Steam program, whatever that was installed, nothing happens. Like, it just sits there. So it's like, But Team Fortress 2 is still downloading, so it's like, okay, if I uninstall Steam, do I have to...
Oh, it's still downloading?
Well, the game is still downloading. But like when I click on the Steam icon on my desktop or in the toolbar, it doesn't do anything.
But when you right-click the Steam icon on your toolbar, what options do you see available?
Nothing. Nothing pops up.
That's weird.
Well, that's strange.
Well, what I'm worried... If I uninstall it and reinstall it, am I going to lose all the data?
Don't uninstall Steam. Just close Steam.
Oh, like through the task manager?
Yeah, through the task manager.
Okay.
Then once that happens, just reload Steam. And the Steam will have paused the download automatically for you. And I'll just start up from where it was.
Oh, okay, cool.
Yeah.
Well, sorry, I guess you could say
we steamrolled that problem.
How about a musical break or something? Let's move on.
I'll tell you what. Let's go to our discussion question. How about that?
Ooh. All right.
Congratulations!
We got another listener email.
Oh, yeah.
Look at that.
Woo! This is from Adam, the Retro Critic, who also happens to be one of our weekly One More Castle contributors. So cool of him to listen to the podcast and interact. And I really like his question. It goes like this. The retro gaming world is in peril. You are asked to choose a team of three badasses to take care of business. Three retro game characters, that is. Who would you trust with the fate of retro gaming humanity? Hunter, you first.
All right, here's my team. Duke Nukem, Mega Man. Oh, Princess Toadstool.
What? Nice.
Oh,
why Princess Toadstool?
So here's how this works. It's a triangle formula all the way. So you send out Princess Toadstool first because she's attractive, and other retro gamer characters are going to find her attractive, and they're going to be distracted. And then you kind of have Mega Man and Duke Nukem spearhead to take everybody out. Works every time.
All right.
Also, if it's the Princess Toadstool from Super Mario RPG, she can be your healer and resurrector.
That's true.
Makes me sound even better.
Yeah, that's actually not a bad trio. That fits a lot of good. Yeah, I can't argue with it.
How about you, Jason?
It's funny you mentioned Duke Nukem.
Okay, you can't pick what I pick. That's not fair.
Yeah, that's right. True. Jason,
can't. God, I need a Duke Nukem replacement.
Yep.
What year did Serious Sam come out? 2001. That's faster. Damn it. All right. I'll make something up as I go.
Stupid deadline.
Stupid 2000 deadline. All right. Because it's a nondescript kind of peril, it hasn't really said, is it, you know, zombie apocalypse? Bowser's just captured someone again.
Could be aliens. Could be aliens. Robots.
Exactly. I planned my three heroes around that. So first, Gordon Freeman. Not only is he good with the gun, he's kind of a crazy theoretical physicist. So if it's a science based problem, we can deal with it.
Oh, there you go. All right.
Next, I chose Magus from the Chrono Trigger game. Yeah, because if we run into some magic trouble, I want someone who knows dark magic, because that's better than any other type of magic.
Of course.
Third, I chose Duke Nukem, but...
No, you didn't.
I didn't anymore. Damn you, Hunter. Let's go with the Doom guy.
Oh, the soldier? I think it's just soldier or trooper?
Yeah, just the marine
the
from
grunt.
Doom. Yeah, because I think he'll mix in well with the never-speaking Gordon Freeman and the rarely-speaking Magus.
So that leaves you at the head of the army?
Yeah, pretty much. Pretty much. Plus, he can shoot stuff really well.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
And you got the BFG, too. You got to remember that.
Yeah, I can't say no to that.
The only problem is like when you go to a different area, there's already going to be dead soldiers lying around. It's weird.
Yeah, that's really weird.
Oh, yeah, that is weird.
Yeah. How about you, Bailey?
Well, I like this because each of us clearly has a different flavor for our teams. But here's my trio. First, handling transportation and large-scale weaponry is Fox McCloud, a.k.a. Star Fox. So he's the guy flying the R-Wing or any of the various land base or one of the enormous ships orbiting the planet that we need. He can handle the piloting, but he's also pretty good with a pistol and can run around pretty fast, you know. But for the heavy firepower and the all-out demolition of our foes, Bomberman. Oh, yeah. You heard me.
Nice. Bomberman.
And then I didn't want to sound like too much of a Nintendo fanboy, but the more I thought about it, the more I just couldn't get away from this choice. But for my third-party member, the hero of time, Link. If we need to travel 7 years or 24 hours into the past or the future, if we need to cast various spells, if we need to light something on fire or freeze something, if we need to have hover boots or a camera or a hookshot or any number of various tools, him and Bomberman can compare notes on their different bomb types. Link is a multifaceted hero with a lot of tools at his disposal, and in a one-on-one fight with just about anyone in the retro gaming universe, I'll take my chances with him.
You're just going to go back in time and kill whoever's threatening the gaming world before they're born, aren't you?
Exactly.
That's definitely the best plan.
Yeah.
You could probably just send Link and be like, yeah, dude, go take care of it.
Yeah.
No, we'll hang out here.
Well, thanks for asking that question, Adam. That was a cool question. And remember, listeners, you can email us at podcast@onemorecastle.com, and then we might pick your question to discuss on the episode. Hunter, we can take that music break now if you want.
Sweet! I like music.
Okay, music break! Castle Theme, Super Puzzle Platformer Deluxe OST by Landon Podbielski. My apologies if I got your last name wrong. And now it's time for our main event, the Retro Showdown.
Retro Showdown!
For those of you who don't know, perhaps this is your first One More Podcastle episode, the Retro Showdown is where each of us has secretly chosen a retro game. We will spend about a minute introducing it on a two-minute time limit that Jason will ruthlessly enforce if he has to, and then just have a free-for-all argument over which game selected is the best. But the best part is that you, the listener, get to vote for your favorite on the podcast page. So, hopefully, one of our arguments will sway your vote. And the winner from two episodes ago was Jason with Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 4, Turtles in Time, more than doubling the combined votes from Comic Zone and Cabal. Well done, Jason.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
This time. Well done this time.
So that means I haven't won in a while. You two are getting all the wins here. So hopefully we can change that. Right now.
You brought Zelda, didn't you?
I did consider bringing like a super mainstream, like widely acclaimed game like Ocarina of Time or Super Mario Bros. 3 or Mega Man 2 or something like that. But I'll let you decide if I picked a AAA title.
All right.
My vote's going to go for no right now.
Yeah, me too.
I'm just gonna pre-vote.
I'm going to say it's a Clue Land.
Yeah, you know, I've already done Clue Land. Just a reminder.
Win?
I don't think so.
No, of course it didn't win. It's Clue Land.
There's no way it won. Let me check which one won that episode. Because it was like two episodes ago and I already can't remember. And that's kind of sad. But yeah, that was fish-related games. That's when Rock and Roll Racing won.
Right. Yeah. I found that game today for $30. I don't think it's worth $30.
It's an obscure little game.
$30 though? Like Super Mario World was $30.
Super Mario World is super common though.
Yeah, they made a million of those.
Probably like 20 million of those at least.
Maybe 22 million.
Cool.
Yeah, probably more like 30 million.
Jason, what are you doing?
What do you mean?
Are you eating something?
No.
I hear Were typing. You? Are you typing?
What?
He's eating something. What are you eating?
What?
He's like licking his fingers. Is it chocolate? Are you eating chocolate?
Maybe.
I got ears like a fox, my friend.
Keller's M&M's. From my parents.
Wait.
Sitting on my computer desk.
And now it's time for What's Bailey Eating?
All right, Hunter, I'm going to eat something right now. You're going to guess what it is. Ready? You got 15 seconds to listen to me unwrap it and start eating it. Here you go.
Sounds like a wafer of some sort, like a Snickers bar or something.
Oh, you're close.
Mars.
Getting closer.
Pluto?
Farther away.
Was it like a Reese's cup?
Nope. Stick with the candy bar. You're almost there.
Some of those Babe Ruth bars you guys have down in the States?
Nope.
A grand bar?
Nope.
Kit Kat Crunch?
You got two more guesses.
Butterfinger.
Nope.
Good, because those things are disgusting.
Is it a Wunder bar?
A what?
A Wunder bar.
Oh, you're wasting your guess. Come on.
All right, sorry guys, it was a Twix bar.
I couldn't think of any other candy bars.
Twix bar would totally win the retro candy showdown.
I like how you guys call them candy bars.
What the hell do you call them?
Chocolate bars.
Yeah.
What if it's not chocolate?
What do you mean if it's not chocolate?
If it's not chocolate, it's not considered.
Name a candy bar that's not chocolate.
Damn it.
See? You see where the problem stems in calling them candy bars?
Nah.
All right. Drinking your soda.
Okay. How about this? Do you refer to it as a sucker or a lollipop?
Soda is what you cook with. Pop is what you drink. Just want to point that out.
Okay.
Sucker is one of the small ones. A lollipop is one of the large ones that is twirled.
All right, we're getting way off topic here.
No. This all makes sense.
It's totally related to our games, right? Right?
Totally.
Absolutely.
Oh, anyway, boy. I'll stop eating chocolate rudely.
What do you think the break is for, Jason? That's what the break's for.
Didn't find it till the break ended. I'm sorry.
Break me off a piece of that Kit Kat bar.
All right. Should I start the stopwatch?
I usually go first, right? It's been a while since the three of us have done this. Yeah, I guess I'm ready.
All right. You may begin.
For tonight's showdown, I'm reaching back to my familiar wheelhouse of the NES, the 8-bit console from Nintendo, and pulling out a game that's probably not considered a classic, but nonetheless is decent, and it's one of my sentimental favorites. I grew up with it. Harlem Globetrotters. Oh, yeah. Of all the basketball games on the NES, this is far from the worst. It's actually a lot of fun. The calling card of this game is that you can control the Globetrotters or the Washington Generals, their perennial foes. If you control the Generals, it's a pretty standard basketball game. You can pass, you can shoot, you can block, you can rebound. You can choose the length of time for the quarters, you can play one or two players. But if you control the Globetrotters, you get access to a crazy array of trick shots, trick passes, and other tricks. You can trip the referee or pull down his pants if you'd like. You can kick the ball from half court or even dunk from the three-point line. And if you get good at this game, it's possible to run up the score and beat the computer like 650-2. It's definitely possible. So it's probably most fun against a human opponent, but you can choose other difficulty settings if you'd like. And all around, if you're looking for a basketball game that's not too serious and just has a lot of fun jam-packed into it, my recommendation for you this episode is Harlem Globetrotters, an American classic.
All right. Hunter, are you ready?
I am ready.
You may begin.
Well, the debate has been going on for many years, and you have to pick a side. As a kid, I was always on the side of Coca-Cola because I always thought that Pepsi was too sweet. So with my decision, why would I not play a game called Coca-Cola Kid for the Sega Game Gear? I would, actually, and it's my pick for this week's Retro Showdown. released exclusively in Japan as a pack-in with a limited edition red Coca-Cola branded Sega Game Gear handheld. Coca-Cola Kid is a fun, fast-paced side-scrolling adventure game. You travel through many different parts of the world, running from point A to point B, with lots of power-ups, enemies, and a wicked fun skateboard in between. Koki, as the main character is known, has an impressive set of moves, such as a backflip, wall jumping, and a sweet slide. Coca-Cola Kid is a fun platformer with straightforward controls, and it's just super fun to play. Coca-Cola Kid.
All right, I guess I'll begin. The game I chose this week, much to Hunter's delight, is a world-famous rail shooter. In fact, you're not just shooting, you're shooting with the camera. It's Pokemon Snap, everyone's favorite Pokemon tie-in game for the N64. Being recruited by Professor Oak, you go to an unusual island, and you need to capture pictures of Pokemon to help him with his research. Using such things as apples and Pokeballs, you basically entice the Pokemon to look at you while you take pictures. The game has been ported to the Wii's Virtual Console, and is generally an enjoyable rail shooting experience. Pokemon Snap.
What a week, guys. This is something else.
I was about to say, this is why we are the best retro gaming podcast, because we picked the widest variety of the strangest trio of games possible.
I don't even know where to begin.
I have no idea where to begin.
All right, I got a question.
excuse me.
Are you talking about the Coca-Cola Kid for the Game Gear?
Yeah.
Okay, is that based off the Coca-Cola Kid from 1985?
He was the big mascot for Coca-Cola in Japan. Is that what you're talking about?
I think.
Or am I thinking of something?
There's a 1985 film starring Eric Roberts.
The two, Jason, those two are indiscriminate objects. They are unrelated. But the danger, Hunter, is that the Coca-Cola Kid, if you try and research that game, you run into that weird movie. Like, go to Wikipedia right now, type in the Coca-Cola Kid, it goes to the movie.
Yeah.
Like, that's dangerous stuff. You can't even rely on your game to represent itself.
Yeah. So this game isn't about an eccentric marketing guru visiting a Coca-Cola subsidiary in Australia to try and increase market penetration?
No, it's not.
It's kind of disappointing.
Really?
But it's a Sonic ripoff.
No, not at all. You're playing as a human being, not a hedgehog. Way different. Huh. Way different.
I don't know if every gamer experiences this, but I personally think that on portable consoles, especially the early ones, especially the Game Gear and the Game Boy and even the Atari Lynx, the screen resolution is so low that they're terrible for platform games. You can't squeeze much detail into those pixels wide by pixels high. And so you always end up with either oversized characters or these very bland looking worlds, and they tend to be very watered down compared to even their 8-bit home console counterparts. Am I wrong?
You are correct.
Yeah, I'd agree with that.
Okay, cool.
Here's the thing that really got me about Coca-Cola Kid, because the Game Gear is essentially a Sega Master System, pretty much. And just the amount of things that you can do in the game. Like, the thing that really blew me away was the wall jumping aspect. Like, for an 8-bit game it's later in the life, but to be able to put stuff like that in, or to be able to, like, hang on an edge of a cliff or a wall as you try to move up, like, for an 8-bit game, like, that really kind of blew me away.
I'm tempted to name a half dozen games released 5 years earlier that had wall jumping and cliff hanging aspects, but I will...
No, go ahead.
Well, there's the first three Ninja Gaiden games. There's Prince of Persia on various platforms. Let's see. Well, this is why I didn't want to do it, because now I can't think of them. But I know they're out there. I know they exist.
I just thought Mega Man games do this.
It's neat. I'll give you that. But it's not mind-blowing.
It was mind-blowing to me, because I didn't make the connection, I guess. I think the thing that was really holding me back was the fact that it was a handheld game. And you could do all that. They had that much detail into a move set. Because, I mean, like, and Jason's point, like, yeah, it could be confused as a Sonic ripoff, but they add all that extra things into it to make it that much of a different game. Like, that kind of took me back when I was playing it.
Oh, that's true. Sonic certainly did not have wall jumping.
That's true.
You got Sonic there.
And Sonic didn't slide.
And he didn't have Coca-Cola.
Yeah, like the Coca-Cola. You pick up like little cups of Coca-Cola. That's your health. How neat is that?
Duke Nukem did that.
Remember, listeners, eat your Twix and drink your Coca-Cola.
Sponsors of One More Podcastle. Well, like going into it, like I thought it was going to be, you know, like Yo-Noid or Cool Spot, like one of those kind of lame.
Dude, you just named two of the best licensed platformers on retro gaming consoles. Those are literally two of the better ones that I would much rather play than Coca-Cola Kid.
No.
Yes. Yes. No. Absolutely. I am not lying. That is actual truth right there.
That's unbelievable.
Yo-Noid is legit. That game is rock solid.
Rock solid?
Yeah, like granite.
Like Swiss cheese.
No, that's
lots of holes.
Not really. It's pretty tight.
A broken platformer?
It's not broken. It is very well developed. It's challenging, but that's a good thing. It's actually designed well.
Was this game Japan what? Only?
Yes.
Ah, okay.
Yeah,
it was a packet. It was with a limited edition red Game Gear.
Yes, because anytime something is limited edition, that makes it
that just speaks quality.
It's like magic.
Okay, but that's pretty cool, though.
You know what else is really cool? That new Mini Wii that's red up here in Canada.
I've heard that's a limited edition.
That is. That's really cool.
Just for Canada.
Can it connect to the internet? Does it have any kind of online access?
Nope.
But it's for limited edition. It's limited edition. Be better.
So wait, buy it.
It's for your chalets, right? Because every Canadian has a chalet.
We all have
right?
chalets. Okay. To Nintendo of America president.
See, that just sounds like discrimination to me. Oh, like, no, Canada. They all have chalets. Let's just release that.
Just because we weathered the fiscal crisis a little better up here, can't be jealous of our chalets.
Oh wow, we are attacking each other's countries here. This is
a first. This is a first.
Unprecedented on One More Podcast. Well,
So let's talk about Pokemon Snap.
Can we?
We can talk about Pokemon Snap.
Okay, let's do this.
I love Pokemon Snap. Yes, I absolutely heart that game.
It's a rail shooter, Hunter. You can't love
You're not
it.
Shooting, though. You're taking photos.
Thank you, Jason.
Which is called shooting. That's literally what you are shooting pictures. That's what photographers do. They shoot.
It's more of an observation game than anything.
Yeah, that sounds so boring. Can you imagine the pitch meeting at Game Freak or whatever developer spit that thing out? Hey, how about we make the player take pictures? Oh, that sounds super boring.
Yeah,
we'll need to take advantage of a popular license to sell that. What if we put Pokemon on it? Holy crap, that'll sell a few million copies. Do it.
It personalizes the Pokemon. You get to see them walking around their natural environments in full 3D. Game Boy didn't offer that. They even did us the favor of, instead of just canceling it after the 64DD was canceled, they just ported it over to the regular N64. And everyone was happy.
Jason, it's a photography game. You take pictures, and if you don't take a good enough picture, you fail. Like, Professor Oak will criticize your pictures.
Yeah, well, it teaches you good photography skills. If anything, it's educational.
But it's not.
Pokemon,
if you were to put,
Bailey. Pokemon.
If you were to put an actual photographer behind the driver's seat of that game, they would have some complaints about what it teaches you about photography.
Wow.
There's nothing about zoom or the kind of lens you use or any kind of refraction or...
Well, you're just a kid in the game. You can't afford any of those fancy lenses yet.
Those SLR models are out of your price range, I guess.
There's so many Pokemon.
Has like 60-something Pokemon from the original series. 63.
So many Pokemon.
You know... And you can say whatever you want about Pokemon Snap, and I can still think of at least two other Pokemon games on the Nintendo 64 that I would rather play. Pokemon Stadium, Pokemon Stadium 2, definitely, and maybe Hey You Pikachu. Maybe. I would maybe rather play Hey You Pikachu than Pokemon Snap.
I wouldn't go that far.
Yeah, that's
I'm just...
Hey, you know what else that had? That had a limited edition N64.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's
right.
It was like blue and yellow.
Yeah, Pikachu right on it.
Yeah.
I would rather have a Coca-Cola branded Game Gear.
I'm giving Hunter that one.
You guys are making me want to go play basketball.
Man.
Okay. Ugh.
It's.
You rip it apart first.
Okay, well.
Bring it. Bring it on.
So this is just a personal, in my opinion. I never thought a 5-on-5 basketball game for a console was ever a good idea.
What?
Like, I just don't think it's a good idea. It's been proven that having less players on the court is more fun than having that many players on the court in a video game.
What do you mean it's been proven? Like there's been some kind of scientific study and they studied the more enjoyability-ness quotient of different gamers and their basketball games per amount of players on screen and discovered that controlling 13 characters at once was unenjoyable or something at the University of Harvard circa 2004.
Yeah, not in so many words, but yeah.
Are you talking about the fact that Jordan versus Bird 1-on-1 or round ball 2-on-2 challenge would be a better choice?
Purely for the fact that there's, I don't know, to me it just seems like it's more enjoyable when you have less players on the field or on the court.
I think Jason supports my pick, actually. If you were to pop in Jordan versus Bird, which only has two players on the court total, and you can play 1-on-1, it's not as fun as Harlem Globetrotters. It's really not.
I don't know. It just seems to be a second-rate arch rivals.
I actually prefer Harlem Globetrotters over arch rivals. Arch Rivals is annoying because after every single shot, there's this like few seconds of, I can't even call it a cutscene, but it'll show like the ref saying, nice shot, or the coach saying, go team, or a cheerleader, or the crowd. Like this little image will go on screen for a few seconds after every single shot. It just kills the pacing. Arch Rivals is overrated on the console.
Fair enough, but Harlem Globetrotters, you really only have two teams?
Yeah.
And one team is, like, severely handicapped?
I wouldn't say that, no.
Severely handicapped.
That's like...
It's different play styles.
It's the video game equivalent of having your friend over and giving him the crappy Mad Cats controller instead of your actual N64 controller.
Kind of, but at least you can choose which is which. I mean, if your friend wants to be the Globetrotters, go ahead.
See, it's not even a it's not even a real game.
That doesn't make any sense. It totally is a real game.
Like on the man, it's completely unfair. It's completely unfair. It's like,
I think you guys, I think you guys are vastly overrating the competitive advantage of being able to kick the ball from full court. It doesn't always go in.
That sounds pretty competitive to me.
I've been to a Globetrotters game. I have. And
It was fun, wasn't it?
And even calling it a game is degrading to every real game out there.
Oh,
it's a show. It's just a show. It's all choreographed. It's like a ballet.
That's why the video game is brilliant, because it's not.
I just know it is. If you can if you can win the basketball game 650-2, how do you get any fun out of that?
Yeah.
What if I told you I could do that controlling the Generals?
Then you're playing a broken game.
Yeah, the AI is horrible.
Yeah, if there's no competition, if there's no competitive nature in the game, why would you keep playing?
You can increase the difficulty level. I was just giving an example. That's just something you can do.
Okay, this game was published by Game Tech.
Oh, yeah, makers of popular game show games such as Jeopardy and Wheel of Fortune.
Yes, and Hollywood Squares.
No, Hollywood Squares is awful.
Family Feud?
Oh, even worse.
I like Family Feud.
American Gladiators.
You know, I'd rather
actually
play Family Feud over Harlem Globetrotters.
Oh, really? Oh, yeah. you are wrong.
No.
You would not rather play that. You are lying to yourself, Jason.
Oh, they also did a
a game called Race Days, which was a ripoff of Micro Machines.
Okay, I want to make a point, and so this game is so racist. Because it's...
How do you figure?
Well, the generals are all white, and the Globetrotters are all black.
Holy shit, they are.
Like, wait. That was the first thing I noticed.
No, there's a white guy on the... I can't tell. They just move as a mass.
Oh, that's just part of the Harlem Globetrotters culture. They started out as an all-black traveling team back when they weren't allowed to compete in the all-white leagues. And they've just continued that tradition. It's not meant to be any kind of discriminatory commentary on culture or anything that complex.
Yeah, but they could have threw a couple of black guys with the generals. I mean, let's be honest here.
That argument doesn't hold up.
Okay, yeah. That is true.
Look, listen. Honorary Harlem Globetrotters. Henry Kissinger. Bob Hope.
See, they've allowed some white guys in there.
I don't know. Pope John Paul II.
It's a show. It's just a show. There's no competitive advantage in the game. It's just a show. It's like watching a movie. It's like watching like an adult beat the crap out of a child.
The Globetrotters have had 22,000 wins.
What's that? What?
That is awesome.
They had a losing percentage of 1.5%.
That is great.
That's like saying that wrestling is a sport. To call this a game, that's like saying wrestling is a sport.
We're not having a contest of who can name the most sport-like sport that's totally authentic. It's a fun game. You can decry the competitive imbalance all you would like, but the basis of my critical evaluations is always going to be the fun quotient. How much fun do you have playing? It's a fun game. That's what matters most.
It's a glitchy game. I'm watching, and there's people walking through the floor.
And it's awesome.
They're literally sinking through the floor.
It's awesome.
I will break into a moment of honesty here. That sounds weird. I've never had people fall through the floor when I played it.
Oh, it's glitching like crazy.
Yeah, you must be watching someone's NES cartridge copy that they didn't clean or something. Because really, like when I play it, it's not nearly as glitchy as what you seem to be describing.
So I never understood why you're just taking photos of the Pokemon. Why wouldn't you just catch them? They're there.
No, Professor Oak needs a photo for his research. So like when he submits it to a paper, I guess, he has to have a photo of the Pokemon with that paper. So people will be like, oh, that's what Dugtrio looks like.
So or you could just catch it and then take a photo of it.
He wants them in their natural habitat.
Okay, he wants them in their natural habitat, but doesn't he give you balls filled with knockout gas in order to incapacitate the Pokemon in order to take a better picture? What is it? Poison?
It's like this purpley something gas.
Noxious purple fumes. And here's my question. This is my million-dollar question. If the quality of the photograph is so important, why not give that transportation car, whatever that vehicle is, the ability to slow down or stop?
Or why don't you just catch them and take a picture of them?
Okay. One, you don't want to slow down because it's a dangerous environment. You do go through some volcano areas, and you don't want the kid veering off into a volcano. So it has to go on a standard track. And two, you don't capture them because they need to be in their natural environment.
Yes, Professor Oak, sending the child photographer into the volcano, a dangerous environment. That's a great great idea there.
He's not a child. He's, how old is he here? Let's see, his name's Todd Snap.
And you're reading the part where he's a child and you're embarrassed to admit it.
No, it doesn't say what age he is.
Yeah, he's like 12.
I don't know. I can't really say. Your claim's unsubstantiated.
Pokemon Snap. You know, I will say this. If they put Pokemon Snap on the Wii U, that would be interesting. I don't know if it'd be great, but it'd be interesting. But it just makes so little sense on a Nintendo 64.
It was ahead of its time.
Yeah, I wouldn't go that far.
Yeah, neither would I.
Pokemon.
I wouldn't go that far.
No.
Whoa. Right,
it's at least better than Hey You Pikachu. and it doesn't require you to own a Game Boy version of Pokemon like Pokemon Stadium.
That's true. It is probably better than Coca-Cola Kid.
Nah.
No, I don't think so.
Yeah.
You know what?
I'd say so.
Oh, my God.
In terms of rankings, I'd give Pokemon Snap number one.
Wait a second. Hold on. That's not how this works.
Coca-Cola Kid, a solid two. Them Harlem Globetrotters is just, it's so far off the chart. Yeah.
No, wait. Let me give my rankings. I would give Harlem Globetrotters spot number one. Eating a Twix bar. Eating a Twix bar, spot number two. And then Pokemon Snap at three. And then number four, Coca-Cola Kid.
Wow, you're going to put Pokemon Snap before Coca-Cola Kid? Really?
Yeah.
You would rather play a photo game than a platformer? Come on.
Here's what I'm saying, Hunter. This is the one point I will concede to Jason in this round of the Retro Showdown. At least Pokemon Snap is unique and distinctive.
Oh, snap.
It might be a flawed... oh, snap. That was funny. It might be a flawed concept and not execute very well and has some really strange motivations when you think about it. But at least it's not yet another bland, overdone, generic media licensed platformer game.
I disagree.
Eh, it's your right as an American, I suppose. All right, closing arguments. Hunter, why should any listener vote for Coca-Cola Kid?
Every listener should vote for Coca-Cola Kid because it is a fun, exciting, well-established genre of a video game that's really fun to play.
Okay, thank you. Jason, why should anyone vote for Pokemon Snap?
You should vote for Pokemon Snap because it's original. It dares to be different. Most of all, it has Pokemon in it. Pokemon.
Okay, thank you. Lawnmowers. As for my game, Harlem Globetrotters, the one thing I'll admit is I know not everyone is a fan of sports games and basketball games, but if you are a fan of sports video games, of which there are some excellent examples in the retro gaming realm, Harlem Globetrotters is a neat example. It's fun, even a little goofy, but there's nothing like it. Give it a try, and a lot of laughs can be had. I want to give a shout out to Ben Landis for our intro and outro tracks. And thanks to our interlude artist, Landon, for the Castle Theme Super Puzzle Platformer Deluxe OST, which you can download on the podcast page, actually. And do you guys have any shout-outs, Hunter?
Jason, if you want to go.
All right.
Jason?
I'd like to give out a shout-out to Tom Hall, who has recently decided to embrace PC gaming.
Good for him.
Good man. I'd also like to say that this is our last podcast for 2012.
Whoa! That's kind of a cool little fun fact. Bittersweet. Neat.
Crazy. What are we going to do next year, guys? Let's do a modern gaming podcast. Nah, that's a terrible idea.
Whoa.
We could save that for early April, you know?
Early April?
I get it.
I don't get it.
Wow. I guess that
first.
Really
oh, I get it.
April Fools.
Oh.
Or should I say April Hunter?
April Hunter.
Do you have any shout outs, Hunter?
Yeah. I want to give a shout out to Helsinki High Rocks. Is that what it is? Yeah, Helsinki. That's what it is. You can make so many words out of all those letters.
Words.
They're all difficult. Anyway, I'll give a shout out to Helsinki Rocks for calling me out on the... What episode was this? Oh, the fish-related games episode. About I was making the Capcom Nintendo debacle debate, and he called me on my BS, so I appreciate that.
Nice. I'm going to give a random Twitter shout out to Starven. Starven. His Twitter name, full name given, is Starven Marvin. He has followed me on Twitter for probably a couple of years now, I'm thinking. And his real name is Chris. But he is a legitimate retro gamer, knows his stuff, gets involved in discussion. And yet, if you read his Twitter profile, it doesn't say anything about video games. So it's, he's kind of a hidden secret. It's interesting because he has other interests, but he's totally a legitimate retro gamer.
Is he ashamed?
I wonder. Maybe I should ask him. Or maybe at least we should all make him listen to this episode and pressure him into explaining why now that his deep, dark secret is exposed to the world. And on that bit of dramaticism, I think that covers that. Oh, you know what? Listeners, I encourage you to vote in the Retro Showdown, comment on the podcast page, and remember you can send us email at podcast@onemorecastle.com. But finally, listeners, remember, you are a bad enough dude to rescue the president. See you next week.